just, it doesn't matter what happens 30 years from now. I'm going to be in it. Period. Done.
Before I started at Central.
Yeah.
While I was still a grad student. Don't do this at home, children.
Hence and the deans would frown upon it.
Nowadays, times have changed. You go to the dean, explain the relationship, and the dean says, all right, just be careful. But in our day, we just kept it under the table.
So so now, something that we see in relationships is, we being, you know, the greater we, it's apparent that in relationships, sometimes we exit relationships because of certain issues, only to re-enter new relationships and have the same issues come up, because really they're our own issues. Do you find that this marriage is greatly differs from your previous marriages? And, you know, if so, was it you who did a lot of changing, or was it the compatibility, or what do you think lent itself to?
Multiple choice question, I hope. Yeah. But yes, it changed hugely. A lot, yes, a lot due to compatibility, a lot to common goals. For me, just a lot, having learned a lot from the first marriage.
So you're saying this marriage does differ greatly from your previous.
Yes, and mine does too. My ex-husband is also an academic, and so we shared common interests, but his personality and mine were... Steve is so supportive and so positive about whatever I am interested in doing. He doesn't judge me. He doesn't criticize me except about some, you know, household things. He doesn't judge how I manage our children. He doesn't, I mean, he's so incredibly positive about me. And he has that negative stuff and that bad stuff going on inside of him, but I have always felt supported by him, and that's been different in this relationship.
And I'm going to ask you. I should keep that for now.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you one last kind of oddball question here. and I don't know this. I don't know if this is uncomfortable to think about, but. Imagine, like, if you could just run with me for a second here. Can you imagine what your life and relationship would have been like without kids, and how having kids and families, you know, affected the growth of your relationships? You're both nodding over there. I can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Well, it would have been it's hard to visualize how it would have been different, because we wanted kids together from the get-go. Had our first child within a year of the time we got married.
Just 13 months.
13 months.
Yeah, we were
married
in June. He was born in July.
I've often wondered myself, if I had been childless, would I have felt a vacuum in my life? And I'm not really clear on that, but I obviously support everything we did with the kids. Think that was a great, great part of our life and relationship.
Our children are just so awesome. I just can't even imagine. I'm a kid-oriented person, and they've just enriched everything that I've done, everything. Ironically, my two sons are not going to have children, and I thought they had really nice childhoods. I'm glad they're not here to contradict me. But they really enrich my life and my interests, and, like, having a child is like having a whole other life, and you get to experience the world through them, and so it's hard, and we really like them as adults, and so it's really hard to imagine
I guess I kind of thought about that when you were talking about how some of the most difficult times in your life had to do with blending the families and things, and so just thinking about, well, what would it have been like had that not been an occurrence, you know, not to say that your kids shouldn't exist. That's,
it probably would have been easier.
And
less tension.
And I had a question though about the ex partners in the marriages, and how maybe they added to the either the blessing of the new relationship or the tensions that were therein. You know, how was your relationship affected by those relationships that were ended? I mean, they knew that you knew each other prior to your marriage. You know, they knew yeah. that whole relationship. So I was curious how that had an impact, knowing each other's ex-partners, and then, you know, the kind of those first years of the relationship.
My ex-wife had a huge effect on the relationship. She was not happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't like Susan even before Susan and I were romantically interested in each other. She made that clear to me on several occasions. So,
when I was just you know, around that world,
yeah.
she didn't like me.
So, in the early, I think that contributed a lot to the alienation of my son and that all of those problems. So,
right.
yes, there was great fallout from the first marriage and the second marriage.
She drove a wedge between me and Steve's son, and so that was really, really hard for all of us, for everybody in the family was affected by her anger and hostility toward me. My ex-husband ended up hiring my husband to do some workshops for him. So they got along fine.
Interesting.
Yeah. I didn't interact with him, but Steve did.
Right.
And often when my daughter was being taken from one family to the other and these horrible transitions from between families, Steve would do that. Steve would take Emily to her father.
For a number of years, I spent Thanksgiving and Christmas Day on the road
driving
between
Emily.
Different yeah. cities where people yeah. were living.
I say interesting because I feel like that's still a common theme that we see, that men somehow, again, sweeping generalization, have a tendency to sort of find a commonality before women find that. I think it's more common that women sort of see a threat
oh, yeah.
amongst other women. And that doesn't have to be somebody that's in a relationship.
Right.
You know, married yeah. in the previous relationship, but, you know, just somebody that's, like, attractive, somebody that's smart, somebody that has an interest, you know, that their partner or husband expresses interest to, you know, that can cause many rifts and many relationships.
It's the anti-sisterhood. It's a real thing.
The other side of the coin.
Yeah. So we only have a few minutes left together, so if you guys have any pressing questions before we segue into Miss Susan and Mr. Tutti's show.
Is this your first time performing a doubleheader at KZFR?
That's a good question.
On the air, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, being interviewed?
Yeah, because, well, doubleheader, because now you're doing your show next, right?
Oh, you mean a double? That's
yeah,
a
that's
double
hours and hours of airtime.
We used to do The Storyteller, so we would do Ecotopia, and then we'd follow with the Storyteller. So it would be an hour and a half, not 2 hours, but...
But we love being interviewed. That's such a change from Ecotopia, where we have to ask the questions. Now we get to shoot off our mouths a little bit. We appreciate that.
We are really appreciate so hearing from you.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on.
So thankful to have you guys here.
Thank you.
Yes.
It was fun.
Would you mind introing our song? And I just want to put this out there for anybody that's listening. Obviously, there is much more to this story and much more to talking about blended families and to decade-long marriages. And I hope that this was somewhat inspirational for you, give you something to think about. I think that's a good tip that you guys gave about, you know, seeking therapy when you really first need it. I think a lot of people have apprehension towards talking to a third party, whether that's for themselves or whether that's in a relationship. But at the end of the day, if you want your relationship to last, then, you know, you got to be willing to do anything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? I mean, so thank you for that. Susan or Steve, would one of you like to intro this song that we're about to play? Little Things Mean a Lot.
It's just all the sweet things that lovers can do for lovers in order to make them feel loved.
How sweet. When was the song out?
1940, perhaps.
Probably 1940s. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's an old song.
So it's gonna be
I think I learned it from my
59 Alan. Seconds. How long the song is?
Yeah, it's 3 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. You guys got 3 minutes. Get ready for your show.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Blow me a kiss from across the room. Say I look nice when I'm not. Touch my hair as you pass my chair. Little things mean a lot. Give me your arm as we cross the street. Call me at 6 on the dot. A line a day when you're far away.
little thing. Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by CSU Chico Continuing Education Open University. Open University provides an opportunity for individuals to take Chico State classes on a space available basis without going through the admissions process. More information about Open University is available by calling CSU Chico Continuing Education at 898-6105 or by visiting rce.csuchico.edu.
When I've lost the way, give me a shoulder to cry on, whether the day is bright or gray. Give me your heart to rely on. Send me the warmth of a secret smile to show me you haven't forgot. For always and ever, now and forever, little things mean a lot. Give me your hand when I've lost the way. Give me your shoulder to cry on. Whether the day is bright or gray, give me your heart to rely on. Send me the warmth of a secret smile to show me you haven't forgot. That always and ever, now and forever, little things mean.